Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 4, we were talking about Daniel's advice to Nebuchadnezzar and its relevance still for today. Let's continue that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, Daniel's counsel here, and really it's God's counsel, is the same as ours today because it's still God's counsel. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Break off has the idea of cease right now. Can you imagine, here's a child with a toy drum, and he starts to beat on it in the house. And it gets so annoying, finally, Dad says, stop it. Now, does it mean slow down in your progression and eventually come to a stop? Of course not. It would not have in our house if we'd have had a drum. If we'd been beating on it and it didn't stop right when they said stop, if it didn't stop right then, it wouldn't be the drum getting the steady beat. I can guarantee you that. Now, he says, break off. Cease right now. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's repentance. And break off thy sins by righteousness. Believing unto righteousness. That is, having the righteousness of Christ placed in you. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Daniel is not telling him to work for salvation. But he is telling him to correct his sinful life by turning unto righteousness. Now, being this is from the Most High God, he is telling Nebuchadnezzar to turn to Jehovah as his Lord. You see, today, just like that verse in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation, I find that there are people that are willing to do the second half of that verse with their mouth to call upon the Lord. But they're not willing with the heart to believe unto righteousness. And yet, it is necessary in salvation. Now, in addition to telling Nebuchadnezzar to turn to Jehovah as Lord, Daniel is mainly looking at Nebuchadnezzar as a man of pride and arrogance. And he's telling him what he needs to do. Now, showing mercy to the poor is addressing Nebuchadnezzar's specific sin. The lengthening of his tranquility is not talking about eternal life, but present life. This is where he's talking. Remember, all this forecast is while Nebuchadnezzar is at ease and flourishing. Now, the main thing is not to see that Daniel is saying, Nebuchadnezzar, do this for salvation. Rather, Daniel is telling Nebuchadnezzar, look, you can put off some of this judgment if you'll just learn to do right. And that takes us to verses 28 through 30, as we see the king's pride is such that he ignores Daniel's warnings and his pleadings. Follow along as I read in verses 28 through 30 of Daniel chapter 4. all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Well, he is given 1 year of grace. 12 months go by before the judgment falls. However, judgment falls. Now, if his heart felt any conviction for a time, it wore off. Judgment may be postponed, but it's not averted. Judgment will come. I can remember a man who used to, in church, hold on to the pew with tears in his eyes, but would not come, would not receive Christ. Well, later, his heart hardened, and he could sit through church unmoved at all. Some people often, an invitation, are very tender. Then later, they're hard. And that's what happens. The Holy Spirit moves in your heart, and you resist it. And the day comes when there's nothing. He let you alone. That is a dangerous state, my friend. And you'll find that there'll be regrets. If not in this life, you'll have them when you stand before God. Again, let's read 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then the next verse says, But the day of the Lord will come. We're reminded of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, get the picture. Nebuchadnezzar is walking in the palace of Babylon. Now, usually in that day, the roof was flat with something like a guardrail. So he could walk around and look out upon the city. Dr. Leon Wood, in his commentary on Daniel, writes the following. In the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the city of Babylon was at its height of glory, being one of the largest and finest cities of the world. It was surrounded by a system of double walls, the outer one of which was 17 miles long, and wide enough for chariots to pass on its top. Of the cities, 8 gates, the most celebrated was the Ishtar Gate. It gave access from the north to the sacred processional way, which led to the citadel of Esagila, where was the grand temple of Marduk, and the imposing ziggurat of Enmenenki. The processional street was about 1,000 yards long, and it was decorated on either side by enameled bricks, showing 120 lions, an Ishtar symbol, and 575 dragons and bulls, which are Marduk and Bel symbols. More than 50 temples crowded within the city walls at the time. The Greeks considered the hanging gardens within the city of Babylon one of the 7 wonders of the world. These were elevated gardens, high enough to be seen beyond the city walls. They boasted many different kinds of plants and palm trees. Ingenious hoists had been contrived by which to raise water to the high terraces from the Euphrates River. It is believed that the gardens were made by the king especially for the enjoyment of his wife, who had been raised in the mountains of Media. Now, can you imagine most people like Daniel, who were right with God at the time, might have asked, why does God allow such a wicked man to do these great works and even to flourish? And God may allow a fleshly work to be completed, be it gambling, weapons of war, technological advance, pornographic income, or building a large church with a contemporary worldly worship. All those things combined, or just one of them. Well, after the work is completed, and maybe a considerable period of time, God brings judgment and the work is destroyed. Remember, Babylon flourished for 70 years, but she was destroyed. Psalms 127, verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, my friend, our ministry here is not to build an empire or have the largest number. Ours is to build up the lives of people with Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of His Word. That is one of the great reasons and a motivating reason that the Lord used in establishing the Lamp and Light radio broadcast. This is training people in the Word of God to live by it. You see, the Bible must be a daily part of our life. In the New Testament church of the first century, they often met daily to encourage one another. That's why in different parts of the New Testament, you see in saying exhorting one another daily. And that includes preaching, separation, and the whole counsel of God. Do you realize that when you tell your children, don't play with those kids? There might be some bad kids in the neighborhood, you know about them, and you say, don't play with those kids. Or you might say to them, don't touch that food till you wash your hands thoroughly. Now, what are you doing? Well, you are teaching your children separation. Well, we should teach our children and fellow Christians even more so strongly in the matters of sin and worldliness. Our object is soul winning and soul building, because that's part of the Great Commission. There are some people that witness. They get a person to pray a prayer, and that's all they do. They don't try to get them in, get them baptized, don't try to teach them the Word of God, don't begin to disciple them. Well, they're not fulfilling the Great Commission. They're failing it. Now, our object is soul winning and soul building to the glory of God, not entertainment, not even numbers. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. baptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.